Welcome to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Brandy was on the dance floor at the Dally M's last night, so he needed to have a day off. James Magnusson was here instead, and we covered the Dally M's from last night after Nicho Hynes was announced as a runaway winner. And we're going to find out right now what James Magnusson has been up to in grand final week and how pumped he is. Parramatta v Penrith, good morning, Missile.
Good morning, Vossie. Yeah, grand final week is a great time of the year. I just found out yesterday that I'm going to be out there on the day with SEN, so
nice.
I am extra pumped this morning.
Well, you've heard it. You picked up in the SEN Awards. You picked up Best Newcomer, so rookie.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's the first I've heard of it. What's the cash prize for that one?
Cash prize, you're right. There's no cash prize, but you've got to be happy. You're part of it there. Straight away, everyone's locking in tips, and we haven't had an opportunity to lock in with you. So let's go for winner, margin, Clive Churchill medal, and first try scorer. What is it going to be?
Okay, so we'll go winner, Penrith, margin, 8, Clive Churchill, Dylan Edwards, first try scorer, Isaac Tungo.
All right, we're going down that left centre corridor, as was the case last year. It was Matt Burton left centre getting the first try. Now you're saying the man who took his spot. Well, let's get into the big story of last night. And Nicho Hynes from the Sharks winning the Dally M medal. Highest ever tally, 38 points, 5 clear of James Tedesco, 6 clear of Ben Hunt, becoming the first Sharks player to win the award since Preston Campbell back in 2001. Racine McGregor winning the Dally M Female of the Year award. Look, Nicho Hynes, in your mind, best player in the competition this year, James? It's always going to cause some controversy. Oh,
yeah, look, I'd have him top 5. He's not my number one best player of the year. But given that we don't take finals into consideration and that run that the Sharks had in the back part of the year, I can see how he won it, and I definitely think he deserves it.
I will say this about Nicho Hynes. I don't know whether the game's ever presented a more impressive young man the award. And Matty Johns backs this up. He doesn't know whether he's met a more grounded person in all his time. And he's been through a lot. There is a backstory to Nicho Hynes and coming through the other side and what he's achieved. I tell you what, as he got the award last night, I thought, what's Craig Bellamy thinking? Look, I know they had I know they have Pappenhausen and they have Munster and Jerome Hughes, but they let go the Dally M medal winner. Did you have to find a spot for him? Did you have to do something to keep him in your ranks somehow? And I don't know how. I don't have the answer to that.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? It may be one of the first times that I can remember it happening that a player leaves a club and gets Dally M first year at a new club. It's a very impressive season from Nicho. Some eyes up football I saw from some of the boys last night. This was off the field stuff. Nicho turns up without a partner on his arm. So same as Harry Grant, same as Ryan Pappenhausen. So those boys talk about the property market. That is some hot property now. Nicho Hynes, Dally M medal winner, has just been seen publicly without a partner. So does he double up now? Does he win the Clio Bachelor of the Year as well as the Dally M?
And they still have that? Clio Bachelor of the Year.
I'm not sure. A lot of those magazines disappeared, didn't they, with the online space? But if it did exist, I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up in our break. But I think he's also picked up the Clio Bachelor of the Year, or the most eligible bachelor, certainly in Sydney.
I suppose we throw out the usual question post-awards night. Did they get it right? You can have your say this morning, 1300 01 1170, the McDonald Jones open line. You can text 0457 736 736. We will read out the team of the year, James. And you can say yep or no. Fullback, James Tedesco, fullback of the year.
Yes.
Wingers, controversial for mine, Alex Johnston and Joseph Suaalii.
Yep, I'll go with it. Yep.
Yeah. I don't see how Joseph Suaalii got ahead of Daniel Tupou, to be honest. He's Roosters' teammate. I think on all numbers, tries, everything, I think Daniel Tupou, and representative honours, I think Daniel Tupou would have been ahead of Suaalii, but I'm not about to get knickers in a knot about that. Centres of the year, Valentine Holmes and Joseph Manu.
Yep, I'll take it. Yep.
That's a yep, yep. 5-8 of the year, Cameron Munster.
Yes.
Halfback becomes Nicho Hynes, winning the award.
Yeah, it's got to be, doesn't it? Yep.
And then we go into the forwards. Isaiah Yeo got lock of the year and captain of the team of the year.
Yeah, it's probably a 50-50 for mine between him and Murray, but I'm happy to go with that.
Second row was Viliami Kikau and the Rookie of the Year, Jeremiah Nanai.
Yep, love it.
And in the front row was Joseph Tarpany and Payne Haas. Up there in the front row.
I don't know about Haas, just the way the Broncos season panned out. Tarpany, love that. Campbell Gillard, probably hard done by.
Good call, And Hooker of the Year went to Appy Korosau. Got the Hooker of the Year. I could have gone really strong vote for Reece Robson.
Yeah, that's probably the most hotly contested position, isn't it? I mean, Harry Grant had another good season. Reece Robson was awesome. Even Reid Marnie, this back half of the year has been really good. If you take into consideration the final series, the makeup of that whole team, the Dally M, everything changes completely. It's a really interesting thing in rugby league, right? Because we essentially place zero importance on rounds 1 to 25, highlighted by the fact that we say, here's $100,000 if you're the best team across 25 rounds. And then we say, but our awards are based on that 25 rounds, which we essentially poo-poo with the prize money at the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, so Coach of the Year, Todd Payton.
Love that.
At this point is a great thing, but I still believe with Coach of the Year, it can be announced after the grand final because... I just think we need to take in the whole season. The coach's job is the entire season. Player of the year, I'm happy to say, all right, we just go regular season rounds. But the coach of the year, I just think, what Ivan Cleary potentially achieves this week is fantastic. It's three straight grand finals. It could be back-to-back titles. I think you're entitled to have a closer look at that. And
Did they finish 6 points clear? At the top of the ladder.
Clear minor premiers.
Yeah. What more can Cleary do to win that award, really?
Mm. Yeah. Well, anyway, you have your say on that. I tell you who was an excited winner last night. Again, I bring Maddie Johns into the equation. But the Women's Rookie of the Year from the NRLW, Southwell from Newcastle, 17 years of age. Now, Maddie was high in praise the other day to the point where he said... if you could get someone to do the tackling, she could probably play in the halves for the NRL side. She is such a talent, just a natural talent, beautiful passer of the ball. So Jesse Southwell is making waves, 17 years of age, and is the Dally M Female Rookie of the Year. So get to know that name. Now, here we go. Drama, Dragons drama, Ben Hunt, low ball, rejection. Latest contract offer, James. If you're a Dragons fan, would you be getting nervous? Is it going to just pan out? Are you feeling it's inevitable he'll re-sign? But this is a second crack at him, and they've left the door open. Ben Hunt's about to go off on the World Cup. The team flies out next Thursday. This time next week, they fly out. Ben Hunt's likely to hop on that plane with no contract, gets talking to some other players. All right, yeah. Uncle Wayne comes in with a massive offer over the top from the Dolphins. Who knows? Contract extension.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are they playing a dangerous game, the Dragons?
I think they are. With the low ball, I think they can afford to pay Ben Hunt unders on this contract, given they probably paid overs for him on the last contract. And I think he'd be able to acknowledge that, particularly the first couple of years of that contract. I don't think he lived up to the figure he was being paid. This last year, no doubt, he's been an excellent player. But I think they should have the ability to sign him for slight unders. What that is, I'd say probably 800 to 900 would be a realistic figure for him. I don't know what they've offered him, but I think it's inevitable that he will re-sign with the Dragons.
We have to stress, he is under contract next year. Okay, so he's on a deal next year worth more than $1 million. And the Dragons, I guess, are saying, well, okay, so what's he worth in 2024 and 2025? So you've got to keep that in mind. But still, playmakers, so important, obviously the most important. And you have a new team coming into the competition, not quite sure who's all got the cash. I just don't know. I'd be very careful.
Where did the Dragons finish? They were ninth, right?
Yep.
Take Ben Hunt out of that side, where do you think they finish? 13th, 14th?
Lower.
Yeah. So he is a vital part of that team. So I certainly wouldn't be playing around with it too much. The problem being, certainly, is the age, right? I think he was 33 this year, so he'd be 34. 4 next year by the time he re-signs.
Yeah, that's right. So then we're talking 35, 36.
Yeah.
Well, I think our playmakers are going to get older. If they're injury-free, I think they're going to be in the game for longer simply because the good ones are so hard to come by. Like Daly Cherry Evans is going to keep playing for another 3-4 years the way he's going. No serious knee reconstructions, that sort of thing. So I think there's a longevity more so than ever with our playmakers. Now, just some other sporting news. We're back on track tonight. The Women's World Cup basketball quarterfinals right in the camp of the Opals. Australia playing Belgium. That's an 8:30 start. You can catch all the action midday today. USA against Serbia. USA, the hottest of favourites. China v France, and also Puerto Rico versus Canada are the matches there. A little bit of cricket news from overseas. England and Pakistan. Pakistan taking a 3-2 lead in the T20 series. This is all building up to the World Cup, of course. Pakistan starting to, could be a hope for the World Cup. There's great news for netball today with Gina Rinehart coming on board and throwing Netball Australia a multi-million dollar financial boost. The reports are netball had lost about $7.2 million over the past couple of years. So it helps to have the backing of Gina Rinehart. But I do throw this one at you, James. Are you a chess player? Are you a chess fan? Have any time in your life you played chess?
Have you got a bit of an inside knowledge here? Someone's tipped you off?
No, I didn't know you were a grandmaster, James. Are you?
I'm an avid chess player, Vossi. I'd play at least 4 or 5 games a day.
Out of town.
Yeah, I play online. I've got a world ranking online that I try and increase.
Hang on a sec. Are you serious?
It's like,
are you serious, Brandy? Are you there, Brandy? Did you watch?
Are you being serious?
Yes, thanks, Brandy.
Yeah, I'm basically obsessed with chess.
What's your world ranking then?
Well, I got up into the, so when you start out on chess.com, you get a score, and then as you beat people above you, your ranking goes up. So I started off about 20 million people on chess because it's a worldwide game. Mm-hmm. I'm into the top 750,000 now.
That will do me.
And
that's good.
And climbing. So to keep that ranking, you've got to play at least sort of 3-4 games a day. I keep up with
this
it.
This is truly incredible. Well, there you go. Now, I'm going to ask, are there other chess players out there? And then I'm going to ask you the big question, because it can't avoid drama at the moment. There's cheating controversies in the world. The grandmaster's
some great controversies.
Then overnight, from the women's Grand Prix, I'm not quite sure what country it's being played in, but they've had this bloke, Ilya Smirin, a grandmaster, Israeli grandmaster, mind you, in commentary. And he's using comments like, she's playing like a man. It's probably a man's game. Sexist comments. He's been sacked. So do women have a place in chess? Are women, like this is a grandmaster who's invited to commentate on a women's thing. And then he said, she's a woman grandmaster or what? Why she wants to be like men's grandmaster in this case? It's just old school sexism. It was quite incredible. You read all the quotes from it. But he did say probably that it's probably not a game for women.
That's stupid, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's a game for everyone. I also watch quite a few chess videos online, and some of my favourite ones are the female players. They go to, when you see in New York in the parks, they've got the chessboard set up. And there's these younger, attractive grandmaster female players. And they'll go and hustle these old blokes in the New York parks. They'll go in and sit down and say, oh, I've never played before. Can I play you for money? And these blokes will go, yeah, put your money where your mouth is. And they'll hustle them and beat them. I love it.
Nice. Like that. Yeah. Might try that down at Breyers, down at Burrata there. Give that a bit of a crack on there. Try to hustle. So we're calling all chess players. Love to talk chess on the program this morning. Has chess never had more drama than this? Headlines all across the world. And male versus female, it's saying that this bloke, this grandmaster, this Israeli said, perhaps chess is not a game for women, he said. Well, that's not his accent. I don't know why I put that accent on. Anyway, you have your say on chess. Do you play chess? Do you like James? Do you play online? Do you cheat? All those things. You can make your confessions here today. You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. James Magnusson in the co-host chair. Michael Carayannis from the Daily Telegraph brought us up to speed with the latest in the NRL just a few days out from the grand final.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the back page with Michael Carayannis.
1-800-848-848 is Brighton's lawyers' numbers. Michael, if you wish to contest that previous comment.
Yeah, it's a bit harsh. I scrubbed up all right last night.
Oh, were you there, were you, Michael? What was your get-up? Talk us through it.
Just a white shirt, black suit, mate. Black tie, though. I didn't go the bow tie.
Nah, got it wrong. There you go, Vossie. You're on the money, Vossie.
It's good to have, it is good to have Michael Carayannis. Look, it doesn't matter what he wears, he's just a wonderful journalist and very talented, but no, he does have some issues there. Just on the petrol issue, just before Michael rips in, not sport related, just saw a 10 cent jump in petrol prices, which weren't supposed to move for a week or two. They're having a laugh.
That's BS.
That's on the back of James Magnusson's finance report that petrol prices are up, folks, but let us know where it's still at a decent price. Now, Michael, let's get into things. The Ben Hunt story today, outside of the Dally M's, has now rejected, a second round of contract talks and could go to the World Cup unsigned. For 2024, of course, we're talking.
Yes. He'll be a free agent come November 1. Look, his management met with the Dragons again this week. He's rejected their latest offer, which was a slight increase in terms of where they were. The Dragons aren't, you know, too keen to go much higher. They're not a long way away, so it could get resolved before he gets on a plane next week. But if he doesn't, he'll be a free agent come November 1.
Do you know what numbers we're talking? Are we around the million? Are we around the 800,000?
Yeah, the Drags will be around that 850 mark, I think. And Ben's obviously on a deal worth more than $1 million at the moment. So he'd want to get close to that, you know, that 9950 mark, I think, and the Dragons aren't just prepared to go there at the moment.
What do you think's fair? Of a fair price for Ben Hunt at that stage in his career?
Oh, I think around eight would be a lot of money, really.
Yeah.
The thing with Ben Hunt and the Dragons is that he's a guy that can help you deliver a premiership, but do you think the Dragons are going to win the comp in the next 3 years? My answer is no. So he's worth maybe better placed elsewhere.
Right, and there's talk about that too. So what if Ben Hunt in the, let's say, the third year of the contract, so what's that, it's hard to get your head around, 2025, he becomes the hooker. Are you paying your hooker, you know, $1 million? No, you're not. He might be halfback because you might have to make way. Jaden Sullivan might have progressed by so much there, and you don't want to lose him. Talatau Lamone's come on at 5'8". So, yeah, there are some decisions. It's a difficult one, though. I still think Ben Hunt will be value. You know, without injury, I think he will be. I think he's just had come off his best season, to be honest.
He definitely has come off his best season, Voss. And it's not like, but the Dragons still didn't make the final, right? It's not his fault. He's obviously needs the players around him to improve. But I'm just... My concern on it is, from a Dragon perspective, if you don't feel like in the next 2 or 3 years you're going to win a comp, are you better off just backing Jaden Sullivan for the next, you know, 12 to 24 months and seeing what you get from him? Because if things don't work out with Ben Hunt in that second or third year, you've got a guy that's on $1 million that's almost impossible to move. But if you look at Jaden Sullivan and say it doesn't work out, well, that's fine. You can always move on because it's not going to cost you a huge amount. So I think if the Dragons were in a premiership window and you thought, okay, next year, the year after, they could win a comp, I'd be giving Ben Hunt $1 million. No questions asked. Mm.
We'll take Sullivan at the Bulldogs. Thank you very much.
Well, that's what could happen, James, no doubt. Because
you lose it.
The moment Ben Hunt re-signs, if he re-signs, Jaden Sullivan will be going, all right, guys, I'm out of here. I want to go to Canterbury.
Yeah, makes sense. With the halfback and the Dragons not making the finals... Halfback being such a pivotal position, I just think if you're a $1 million player, I think you can pull your team higher than that on the ladder. Like if you put swap Nathan Cleary for Ben Hunt, do you think the Dragons make the top eight? Because I do.
I don't think they make it this year. I don't think they make it this year off the back of the way Ben Hunt played. And Ben Hunt couldn't have played any better than he did this year. I think that was his ceiling. There's no improvement from where it. He produced. He was that good this year, right? He was sensational. So, he needs the players around him to lift for sure. But, you know, at his peak, they didn't make the finals. So that's the only concern. He's an outstanding player. And as I said, if the Dragons were a top four, top five contender, I'd be giving him what he wants. But they're not in that position. So I'd be a bit more hesitant.
Well, that's why I can't give Payne Haas $1 million. You know, he wants $1 million. He's been Brisbane Player of the Year 4 years in a row, but it's not getting him into the eight, not getting him into the finals from the front row position. Now, here's another big name. And I floated this weeks ago that, come on, come back RTS. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Well, he got 10 minutes the other day, didn't he, at Eden Park? Got 10 minutes. Got thrown on when it's all over. 10 minutes. That's the best he can get in the All Blacks. Is he a chance of coming back to rugby league, Michael?
No, I think we discussed it a couple of weeks ago, Vossi, when you floated the idea. His next destination, if it doesn't work out in New Zealand, is Japanese rugby. I don't see how he'll come back to the NRL. The Roosters were sort of strangely linked to him yesterday. They've got no money for Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. There's no way he'll be at the Roosters. So I think if he does move on from New Zealand rugby, it would be Japanese rugby. Would that open the door for a potential short stint in the NRL because of the way the Japanese season works, potentially, but it's not going to be his first priority. So I don't think we'll see him back in the NRL.
All right. Now, I got blocked for calling Sonny Bill Williams Sushi Bill Williams when he went to Japanese rugby, and Sonny's blocked me from that day on. I wonder if Roger will do the same. I'm going to nickname him Roger Teriyaki Sheck.
Oh,
if he
I
goes
like
Japanese
it.
Rugby, you like
that's
that?
That's good. Oh,
he still
very
gets
good.
The RTS. Roger Teriyaki Sheck.
I can see Michael stealing that, and that being the back page of the newspaper.
Is that
Teriyaki Sheck?
Teriyaki Sheck.
Having dealt with Roger a few times, he doesn't seem like the blocking type to me.
No.
Yeah.
Why did Sushi Bill do it?
Can I just give one perspective on the Roger thing and why I think the NRL is still a chance? From an athlete's perspective, that would be a very humbling experience to go from one of the biggest names in your sport and, you know, back page of the paper every second week, name up in lights, to at the peak of your powers, going away to Japan, out of sight, out of mind, and finishing your career in that manner. I think there would be a part of Roger that would say, that would be struggling, and call it ego if you will, but would be struggling with A, coming off the bench for New Zealand, the All Blacks, because that certainly wasn't the plan when he went to rugby, and B, having to swallow his pride and go to Japanese rugby, whatever the price is, and finishing your career in that fashion. I think there's a red hot chance that he comes back to rugby league for the spotlight, and for the I guess, legacy that he leaves on his sporting career.
Love it. Yeah, that's like music to my ears, you saying that, James, because he's not even a bench player for the All Blacks. Let's face it.
It's a waste of talent.
He's outside of
it's
that.
It's a
now,
waste.
Michael,
yeah.
One last one to finish. By the way, text has come through. James has given his best and worst dressed from the Western Sydney Eagle. Great job, Missile, with the fashion report. And boys, keep calling out the weak gutted dog petrol stations that are taking the piss. It's one of the text messages there. But Michael, Greg Alexander was at the Dally M's last night. Now, you spotted him. Fashion-wise, Greg Alexander, where does he figure? Brandy. Oh, Viking hands.
Oh, I can't remember what he was wearing, to be honest. I didn't take much notice in what the great man was wearing. But I probably bailed about 11:30, I think, last night. And Brandy was in fine form, shall we say. So,
oh, wow.
I'm not sure if he would have surfaced by now.
Oh, it's a bit, once they play the Village People, he's on the dance floor. Champagne in hand, dancing to the Village People. Go West.
Vossi, you nailed it. Champagne were flowing for Brandy last night.
Champagne,
he
man.
Loves the
Brandy.
Champers. He is.
Okay.
Big champers, man. Big champers, man.
I had him as like a Scotch man, like a glass of Scotch with a big bit of ice. No, he's a champers.
All right, Michael, we need to let you go because I know you've got to get that suit back to the higher place. So thank you for coming on the program.
Yeah, Kelly's Country or something.
That's it, Kelly's
Country.
Kelly's Country,
okay.
Oh, by the way, now I'll tell you about our new sponsor. Well done, Michael. Your segment, Michael Carriana, is brought to you by Kelly Country, and they used to make wonderful ads. You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, today with James the Missile Magnuson in the co-host chair, and Parramatta Eels General Manager Mark O'Neill spoke with us about the preparation for the Eels players this week leading into the Grand Final, and Mark himself, a winner of a Grand Final back in the day with the Tigers in 05. Very interesting story around Parramatta. Now, their general manager is Mark O'Neill, but Tigers fans know that Mark O'Neill was part of the fairy tale in 2005. I can still picture Mark O'Neill scoring in the preliminary final against the Dragons, racing around at the old Sydney Football Stadium, and then being a grand final the next week. And this at the back end of his career as well. An absolute dream come true. How much of that grand final experience can he bring to Parramatta? Will that sort of luck rub off? Let's speak to the man right now that must be getting some great flashbacks this week, remembering the grand final with the Tigers, Mark O'Neill on the line. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Good morning, Bossy. Thank you for having me.
Or Buckets, as they used to call you, of course, at the Tigers. Can we start there at 05, first of all? Grand final week rolls around, the happiest time of your rugby league life, looking back on that incredible season that is now 17 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great journey. It was the best day in my life up until that point. And to share it with the group of men and women at the club that we did, it was fantastic. It culminates in a lot of hard work and energy and effort that a lot of people put in, but we were able to produce something special on the day that creates a bond for the rest of your lives.
Well, I asked you this question. You had some big moments in that grand final. One of the big moments was the front rower scored the first and last try. That was incredible. Bryce Gibbs, Todd Payton getting on the score sheet. But the Benji Marshall flick pass in that. Is there a Parramatta player who's going to produce one of those iconic grand final moments this Sunday, Mark, in your opinion?
that's a good question. That was iconic, wasn't it? Pat argues that he made Benji. Benji argues that he made Pat. So it gives a lot of opportunity for some good banter there amongst the group. But, with the skill level of the players these days across the board, you sit and marvel, throughout any game, every year, or all year, I should say, around where that level, and the practice and the endless hours, the professional nature that they do has just taken them to the whole next level. So I hope there'll be many moments, many key moments in the grand final that for the Eels, of course, that we'll be able to celebrate post-match.
Mark, James Magnusson here. Welcome to the show. Question around the grand final week at Parramatta. So I always hear coaches and players talk about there's two ways you can approach a grand final. You can either block out the pressure and the fanfare and treat it as a normal game, or you can really embrace the week and, kind of lean into that extra fanfare and pressure and expectation. What's been the approach this week for Parramatta?
Yeah, good question. Morning, James. The piece around ordinarily coming into finals, I think, is normalising the behaviour as much as possible. But when you come to a grand final, it's a different week. It's not normal. It's very hard to do that. And a lot of people say, oh, look, just enjoy the week. And that could be because there's a level of uncertainty. What else do you say? But it is the most important thing is the game on Sunday, okay? And then working back from that, your preparation, your training, how it come together and, going back further, your recovery from the previous game. So we need to make sure that, there's a constant, consistent, calm flow for the players to go to their next job, the next thing they need to do. And when they get on the field, they're all calm. And make sure that we're not leaking energy around things that we've just got no control over. It is a privilege to be in this week and to do fan days and to do Dally M's and captain's lunches, etc., and all the media commitments and everything that goes with it. It is a privilege. And there's 14 other clubs and we've been one of those 14 other clubs every other year in recent past that we would love to be in this position. So I guess, you may not be able to enjoy everything, but you need to embrace it and you need to accept that this is what comes with the territory. And I think so far this week, we've done a really good job doing that. There's a lot of staff that are deflecting, taking the load and pressure just to make it easy for the players to go from their next commitment each and every time and get the most out of it while they are in that individual sort of moment. So, yeah.
Mark O'Neill, our special guest, general manager of the Parramatta Eels now, the football side of things, but former grand final star with the Tigers when they won their one and only premiership in 05. Mark, just for all of us, the team behind the scenes at Parramatta, the football office, even right down to the blokes that help out in the dressing rooms, that clean up, that turn up, and every club has them. Yeah, every club has gems that absolutely live and breathe the club. Parramatta have a few?
Yeah, Oh, absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. You know, the guys that you see are a very well-connected bunch. You know, that's enabled and harnessed from Brad and his coaching staff. But down below that, to give, you know, like the atmosphere, the environment, you know, to provide the opportunity for those to be connected and the coaches to do their jobs. There's so many staff there that play a role, and certainly it's not lost on us as a club. And sure, it's not lost on most clubs, to be fair, but the roles of the volunteers, well, not only the volunteers, but, all, you know, all the staff that play in that. Everyone plays a part in it. Everyone has a role to do. And I liken it to like a jigsaw puzzle competition. There might be some pieces that are bigger than others. There might be some that have greater touch points and connections around, you know, the different pieces of the board. But if you have one piece missing, no matter how small it is, you cannot be assessed if you were in a jigsaw puzzle because it'd be incomplete. So everyone needs to bring their piece of their puzzle. Everyone has been doing that. And everyone's entitled to feel a level of satisfaction, you know, with whatever success may or may not be forthcoming on Sunday.
Mark, I imagine the whole of Parramatta is absolutely pumping at the moment. For those people that couldn't get tickets, is there any other ways for them to get involved this week? Fan days, watching the game, what's going on
live
out there?
Live sites, yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a few live sites around Parramatta and our league club. Will be exciting. It's a good weekend. And, you know, like for the Panthers team as well, this is their third grand final, but largely affected due to COVID, the previous two. So Western Sydney as a whole will be experiencing a bit of a buzz around the, you know, their respective precincts. So, yeah, tickets have gone fast, haven't they? But around Parramatta and the CBD area there, particularly our leagues club, that will be the place to be if you can't get to the stadium.
All right, Mark, one last one. Now, we're not talking about first premiership, but back in 1981, when Parramatta won their first premiership, you know, having entered the competition in 1947, I mean, I'm doing the maths now, that was 34 years in. Now we're 36 years on since their last premiership win. Have you had to put in place any sort of security that the grandstand at the Combank Stadium won't be burnt to the ground on Sunday night if Parramatta do win? Any plans there?
Look, I hope there's a similar outcome in terms of success, but I hope there's not a similar outcome in terms of, you know, grandstands getting burnt down. I was actually speaking to Steve Edge yesterday, of course, who captained, you know, the premiership sides in the early 80s and things like that, and just to pick his brain and hear about his experience and journey and to, you know, take any counsel from him around how the week's going to go. And it was amazing listening to him and him sharing some stories about, you know, what it was like in Parramatta, you know, before, during, after. The question I asked him was, what would you have liked to have, you know, done different or known, you know, like along the way? And he was about, he did mention about enjoying it. He said, understand that it is a privilege, and you'll have that many people that you won't even expect or suspect the number of fans and that little people will be supporting you. So, you know, go out and get it was his words, his advice there. But, yeah, like I said, I'm hoping for a similar result in terms of the on-field, off-field. Let's just hope it's a nice, happy and long celebration post. Yeah.
All right, maybe one win as a player, one win as a general manager will be in your resume come Sunday night. Mark, thank you for sharing your time and your thoughts today.
Thank you, guys. Hope you have a great day and week.
Was a Tiger, now an Eel, or part of the fold there with the Parramatta Eels, part of the team that has got them to the grand final. That is Mark O'Neill. You're listening to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Our sports reporter, Michelle Bishop, out and about today, capturing all of the grand final fever. She was at a butcher at Narellan that are making special blue and gold sausages. She even took the taste test. Let's hear more about that. Vossie and the Missile, iconic television moments. One has happened in the last half hour on Sunrise on Channel 7. Michelle Bishop.
I don't know if I can show my face.
Has been at the butchery there, Mano's Butchery out at Narellan Pride Meats, where there is the home of the blue and gold sausage. Now, Michelle, before you speak for the defence, we're going to play the audio of the eating of the sausages where you picked up both and ate them at once. So you got a taste of blue and a taste of gold. Let's have a listen.
It's time to have a bit of a taste test. But these blue and gold sausages, they're flying off the shelf.
Yes, we've sold over 6,000 sausages and they're still going. So.
Right, well, here's the big test. Here's the big test. I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm going to try and be ladylike. I couldn't choose between the blue or the gold.
Oh, yeah. Good, good.
Kind of tastes like chicken. No, minced panther.
All right.
Minced panther.
Wow, the reaction from the crowd wow. that you would eat the two sausages at once. So that's, you say, I'm going to try and be ladylike. Then you grab both of them.
Unbelievable.
Wow. What's going on?
Well, it was a tough decision. I couldn't choose between the blue or the yellow. So I just thought, well, you know, I'll hoe into both. And I did. And yeah, it does taste a little bit like chicken and chives. And yeah, as I put it, minced panther. But wow, what a morning. What a new, I never thought I'd ever find myself in grand final week doing crazy things and eating blue and gold sausages. But we've got the absolute legendary owner here, Mano, who's a tragic Leafs supporter. And he's gone to all this effort. He's been very creative, churning out those sausages, and they are flying off the shelf.
Yeah, well, he's on the line right now. Mano, congratulations on the sausages. You've sold so many. Is it advice to the customer to eat as many at once as Michelle did? I mean...
Well, to be honest, thank you for having me on your show. And it's actually, you've got to have a talent and an art to be able to do that. So I'm not too sure anyone can pull it off. So yeah. She's done very well. Very impressive.
Yeah, they both the same taste, the blue and the gold. They're both the same taste, are they?
Yeah, they're both the same taste. They've both got the chicken and chive
flavouring. Well, I can vouch for that.
Yes. They've both got the same taste. So, yeah, look, it looks a bit daunting looking at the colouring.
Yes.
But they taste actually pretty good.
See, that's the thing. I can't bring myself to eat, like, kangaroos. I can't eat a little kangaroo. But blue sausage...
I'll have to drop you some off so you can try these. I think you'll be very impressed, Vossi.
But are you a Parramatta man, Mano, or just a rugby league man?
I am both. Diehard Parra fan since the 80s, 1980s. Born and raised in Redfern, but always went for Parramatta. So we've been waiting a long time for this. I can't wait for Monday.
When I turned up at 5:30 this morning, guys, he was crying. He's just that nervous. He can't keep the under control.
That's your effect that you have on him, Michelle. Yeah, James, any questions for Blue? And see, Jane, now we've got an elite athlete here. Michelle and myself, we're not elite athletes, Mano, but James Magnussen is. You're talking to Tom World champion. You're talking Olympian. James, sausages, is it your go? Are you got any questions about the sausage?
Love sausages. I actually, to double down on what you said, Vossi, I like kangaroo sausages. They're the leaner meat, isn't that right, Mano? Less fat.
Yeah, there's no fat at all in the kangaroo sausage. Kangaroo and venison. Very lean meat, both of them. So if you do a sausage, you've got to have a little bit of fat in the sausage. You don't want them too lean. They'll be too dry. So, but if you ever need any, James, I'm more than happy to make your batch up for yourself, mate, since you're a fine athlete like yourself.
Love it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I did get the joke too, doubling up or doubling down, whatever it was, on the kangaroo sausages. Very, very
Mano, Michelle in the intro to the piece on Sunrise said you sold about 6,000 of them. Between now and grand final date, supply and demand, you'll just keep on churning them out?
Yeah, no, we'll just keep doing it. We've got the young fellas out the back here. They're on them nearly all day. We've got the phone hasn't stopped in all the stores, to be honest. Yeah. I've got people coming up from Canberra that have rung up in Goulburn, and it's like, I couldn't believe how much this has taken off. It's gone crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you've got your spokesperson now, or your ad made by Michelle, the Sunrise clip is 100%. Going viral at the moment, so people can't get enough of the sausages.
New ambassador for Pride Meats.
Yeah, that's it. All right, Mano, might drop in sometime, mate. I'll check in there. That's great. Mano, you have a great grand final week, and sausage on, brother, sausage on.
Thank you for having me on, and I have actually served you a few times at our Top Ride store, so...
There you go, Mano. There you go. Well, I can vouch for the taste. The sausages are good. Let's get Michelle Bishop back on. Good on you, Mano. Michelle,
guys,
you've had quite a morning.
Goodness knows where I will be tomorrow. This has got to be one for the highlights reel for sure. But grand final week just continues to roll on. I'm off to Martin Place now, obviously, to the footy fan fest where we will see both sides presented to the public. So, bit pumped for that, but I'm going to make sure I pack the sausages, take them home for the kids.
Yeah, very quickly, you often mention the kids. Have the kids been in touch since you asked them on TV, national TV?
Vossie, my 20-year-old said, "Mum, how could you?" That was the text message. Mum, okay, I'm copying right. it from everybody. How could you?
There we go. Wow.
I'm all that right. mum.
Thank you, Michelle Bishop. Great morning. Thanks for fitting us in because you're very busy working there for Sunrise. You've been part of it too. You've captured all the grand final excitement and you'll be doing the same again on the program tomorrow. Have a great Thursday. Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.